So here's my problem. It's just given a family, dynamical systems, find a meaningful conditions, and by meaningful I mean what I'm hoping to find is kind of soft conditions, not too hard to verify. Which guarantee that a positive measure set of parameters, or even one, has positive entropy? And that's with respect to a reasonable measure. What I'll have in mind is maybe something like a measure that's a limit of push forward of Lebesgue, SRB measures. Some people call them physical measures. Maybe just push forwards of Lebesgue. So what do we know? We know a few families. In the quadratic family, the answer is there is a positive measure set with positive entropy, and that's the result of Jacobson and Lubitsch et al. I don't remember who all was involved in this completion. Maybe Marco, were you part of this one too? Maybe Marco, I don't know. The far from easy. I wouldn't call this simple. There's no simple conditions to verify here. So that doesn't quite, while it's true for the family that there is a positive measure set, it's not easy to establish it. Another family that we might study is a Hannon-type family. And then we've got Benedict Carlson. And Lysang Young, Vienna, various people. They're a positive measure family. Again, in the family, again, it's not easy to verify. There's a tremendous amount of work. So I'm looking for easy, something soft that would tell you about a family that it has a positive measure set. Here's another one, the standard map. So that's a family of diffeomorphisms, and nobody knows. Not even the question of positive measure in the set of parameters which give you positive entropy, but even the existence of one. So here's another one that I studied at some length that's a little similar to the standard family. You take the map of the two-sphere, I'll call it T epsilon, and what it does is it twists by epsilon. So it takes two spheres contained in R cross C, and it takes R comma Z to E to R E to the 2 pi I epsilon R Z. So this takes the sphere, and it rotates every circle by an increasing angle, depending on epsilon. So now how do I get a family from this? This is one family, well, it's epsilon, but surely no element of that family has positive entropy. They all have zero entropy. So that's a family where the answer is no. So the condition, it's got to be something better than being a family, and it even has to be something better than the fact that there's some kind of stretching in the derivative. Of course, there has to be exponential stretching in the derivative, and this one doesn't exhibit that. But I could take now theta in SO3 and compose it with T epsilon. Now I have an SO3 family. And I could put the Haar measure that I induced for SO3 on this family of diffeomorphisms. So for every epsilon, I have a family of diffeomorphisms. And now I can ask the question, is there a positive measure set of thetas for which this has positive entropy? Positive measure. Positive entropy with positive or even one, any epsilon. So in fact, as far as I know, there is not a single known analytic family of diffeomorphisms that contains a twist map like this, or any twist map like the standard map, and has positive entropy anywhere. As far as I know, there's no such family known, provably. Experimentally, all these families have lots and lots of entropy. Analytic, I said. In this case, analytic. For this, see infinity, all right, but I don't know an analytic family, like, starts with a twist map that has positive entropy anywhere. Well, you can connect any two volume preserving by a C infinity arc probably and find a family, but so you take one with positive entropy like pseudo anosov and connect it to a twist map. But you certainly can make families that go from twist maps to positive entropy, but you don't have one that's analytic as far as I know, and something so natural as given by elements of a group, or as in the quadratic family, it's also a group element, you know, plus C. It's kind of a group. Can you? I don't know. But maybe you can, yeah. Maybe you can find some analytic families from general region. Anyway, here's a specific one. So my question is maybe more specific. Smooth. Are they analytic? Oh. Who was that, Mary Reese? Marlies Gerber? Okay, well then I have to take back my assertion that none is known in an analytic family. Anyway, there's no natural analytic family that I've ever seen. So I'm just, and let me withdraw the comment. I withdraw the comment. The question still is, if you're given a family, can you give any criteria for this family? Any reasonable criteria that guarantees there's some thing of positive entropy, and even the positive measure set in there with positive entropy. So my first guess, actually, in this process was, if the random products has positive entropy, there might be some evidence that the individual dynamics have positive entropy. So maybe compare the family to the entropy of individual elements of the family to entropy of random products. So that was the game. And I think I started this process actually, just to give you a little brief history, some years back when I had this notion, I mentioned it to Yuri Kiefers, because I needed to talk to someone who knew something about random products. Yuri said to me, well, so I don't know why that would be true. Why don't you try linear maps? Is it even true for linear maps? So I thought, oh, that's a good idea. I should do an example. So I did an example of linear maps, and I had the unfortunate experience of proving for linear maps that the average of the eigenvalues was bigger than the Lyapunov exponents of the random product under some hypotheses like a group in the background here. So I had this unfortunate experience, and then I thought, well, having done this in one case, let's now go for the dynamics. And I went straight for this one because it was like the standard map, and I had a group. I thought maybe I could use the group somehow in the proof because to compete with all the people who had worked on this problem with very strong, hard dynamics techniques wasn't for me. So I needed a new idea. So the idea was supposed to be that the group here has something to do with the conjecture. And I must say, I'll return to what we know about this case at the end. So now, what was the idea? The idea was that the mean entropy of the deterministic system might be bigger than or equal to the random entropy. So now let me give you an example of that today, the first dynamics example that I know. And it's so easy, I wouldn't be surprised if one of you tells me that this is already well known. So, first example is Blaschke products. So these are maps of the circle. They're actually defined on the whole unit disk. So theta times the product. This is I equals 1 to some number k. Ai is a complex number of modulus less than or equal to 1, and theta 0 is a unit complex number. So this is a transformation of the whole disk, which leaves the boundary invariant. Each fractional linear transformation leaves the disk invariant, so the product does as well. And you get an immersion of the circle of degree k. So the resulting map on the circle goes around k times. But it's fairly simple to see about these Blaschke products that they have either a sink on the boundary somewhere, or they have an absolutely continuous measure, or the third possibility is there's an indifferent point on the boundary that tracks from one side and not the other. So there's three possibilities: indifferent point on the boundary, second one is expanding in the with an absolutely continuous measure. And the third one is a sink of the boundary. And they all can occur for different choices of the AIs. So I want to now put my group in the picture and give myself something to average over. So I start with a B and I let my family be theta B Z to theta NS1. Let me call that, so there was a theta 0 here, but now this is a variable theta, and I'll call the resulting map theta B equals B sub theta. And then as these three according to these three possibilities, B theta of Lebesgue either converges to an atomic measure on the fixed point, by the way, this is joint work of Lionel Robert, who's a graduate student here and has an office in the building somewhere, but I don't see him today. So either converges to an atomic measure on this fixed point, or, so this is Lebesgue measure. Or to absolutely continuous measure. This invariant absolutely continuous measure of the in the expanding case. So let me call the resulting measure mu sub theta. So for each mu sub theta, there is an entropy. And the theorem I want to talk about, first case, theorem is the integral of h of b, h with respect to mu theta of b theta is bigger than or equal with respect to theta here, is bigger than or equal to the integral of the log of the derivative of b dz. Now, this number here on the right is the Lyapunov exponent of the random product of the system, which is pretty easy to see because the derivative of b theta is the same as the derivative of b in modulus everywhere because theta is an isometry. So the derivative of b theta in modulus all theta. And the stationary measure for the random products has got to be Lebesgue because the group is there. So that's the trick of the group, that you know the stationary measure. So then the usual Lyapunov exponent computation tells you that you can compute the Lyapunov exponent by integrating the log of the derivatives along the orbits, and it's the same as the spatial derivative, and there it is. So what I'm going to prove is that this in this context, the initial naive conjecture that I made is true. So that's, again, now I'm in trouble. I was about to abandon the whole project since I couldn't make any progress. But now I, once again, unfortunately, have an example. This example of Boschke product satisfies that the integral, the mean entropy, is bigger than the random entropy. Okay. No. It's part. I forgot if I have a lower bound. I don't think I have a lower bound on the right hand side. So the more attracting. No. No, that's the wrong. See, that's the mistake I always make, and I make all these conjectures because. See, that's the backwards side of the Jensen's inequality, right? So what you know is that the integral of the integral of b prime of z dz is bigger than or equal to k, is equal to k. But now you take the log, and the log. And now Jensen's inequality goes the other way. So the integral of the log is this is less than or equal to that. So I get an upper bound, but I don't have a lower bound. But I do get any lower bound is already interesting to me. So you give me I think it's positive. I think it's positive, but well, take an example where it is positive, already interesting enough. for expanding maps, etc. P prime of z is always bigger than or equal to 0. Then we'll get back to that, actually. So why is this true? I'm going to give you two proofs, and the proofs are both very simple. Stop me if I'm too horribly repetitive. But in order to have a measure on the circle, I have to give you a linear function on the space of linear continuous functions, right? So I defined the measure mu sub z. This measure must have a name in complex variable theory, as you take the function f is in continuous functions on S1, I take its harmonic extension to the circle, to the disk, and then I evaluate it at z. What's that called? It's got a name. Poisson measure. Hmm? Harmonic measure. It's called the harmonic, thank you. Harmonic measure at z has got to be named, according to z. So this harmonic measure according to z. So now if f is analytic, if b is analytic, it's quite clear to see that b star of mu of z equals mu of b of z. That's very obvious because f composed with b sharp equals f sharp composed with b, since b is analytic. So the measures push forward on the bottom. So now I can simply give you the first proof. The first proof of this whole thing follows quite easily from the Lebesgue-dominated convergence theorem, and this fact: for every n, the integral of the push forward d theta to the nth power of Lebesgue d theta equals Lebesgue. So if I integrate all these measures, remember, sometimes I had sinks, sometimes I had absolutely continuous measures. I think about this whole family. I take the absolutely continuous family. The limits will be given by the limits. Mu theta is the limit with this fixed, so the integral of the mu theta will be the integral of this, will be Lebesgue. This is the limit as n goes to infinity. And from that, and the usual entropy formula in terms of the log of the derivative follows this formula, because you get to ignore the negative ones. These numbers are negative sometimes when you have the sink, but then the measure is concentrated on a point and the entropy is zero. So places where the limiting measure is atomic and the value is negative are replaced by a zero, and that's why you get the inequality. And there's an equality here, so I can then say equal if and only if b prime of z is bigger than 1 for all z in S1. Okay, so there's no place we've ever run into the attraction. So why is this true? Well, this is the same as the integral. So let me evaluate this on an f. See if I can do this. So the integral of f bn is a star here, right? Theta of lambda is equal to the integral of f hat evaluated at b theta to the n of 0. That's the definition of the push forward of lambda. But here's harmonic function evaluated on a circle. So its value is the value at zero, which means I put theta equal to zero here. Putting theta equal to zero gives me zero. So it's the same thing as evaluating f at zero equals a. So that's the first proof, that the measure is always integrates to Lebesgue. Okay. Second proof. Proof two. So this proof I kind of like. I think this proof, it says something about the harmonic extensions, the values, the dynamics. It must have analogs when there are other boundaries besides the circle to the disk. But I don't know any interesting dynamics on other boundaries. I don't know if people know interesting dynamics on boundaries. There may be further examples of this type a phenomenon. So the next, second proof. What is, how do I compute b to the n theta star of lambda? So now I want to say, well, let's see what the integral, I have to say what the value of the function is on a function. So this says applied to f, and the f I'll apply it to is z to the n. So if I tell you the value on z to the n for all n, then I've told you a value on a codimension one subspace of functions, and I've told you what the measure is. If I prove to you that the measure, this integral of this thing is always zero on z to the n, then I prove it's Lebesgue. What I have to prove is that the integral of this and z to the n equals zero, all n not equal to zero. M. And there may be a, m may be positive or negative. Thank you. So I push forward the Lebesgue measure, and times I evaluate on this function, I'm supposed to get zero. So that is to say, I take the composite, right? Push forward means just put the composite and integrate with respect to Lebesgue. That is to say, the integral of b theta to the n of z to the nth power. I want to prove this equals zero, integrated over theta. Right? Integrated over z, integrated over theta. So let me first do this the case when m is positive, because if m is negative, I just put a bar over here, and then zero bar is zero. Okay, so m is positive. Remember, b theta has a theta in front of it, right? Theta b equals b theta. So this is a power series. B theta z n to the n is a power series. N z theta. And no constant term, because there was a theta at the end the last time I did it. No constant term. Well, that means everything has power, positive powers of theta and z. You integrate them, you get zero, either if you do the z's or the thetas. So as long as you have a positive power of theta on one of, in one of the terms, or you have a positive power of z, you get zero. So this is zero. So that's proof two. So it's Lebesgue measure. Two proofs, one Fourier series, one... skew product? What do you mean? You mean to write the double... Fourier series. Yeah, you could think of it as, I don't know, I don't think it helps, but you can. No, the bag isn't invariant for each. No, for none of them. Hardly any, even for expanding maps, the measure in the fiber is locally absolutely continuous, but it's not Lebesgue, it's some function times Lebesgue. and then they'll have open sets where there's a sink, and the measure will be atomic on the sink. So it's not such an easy thing. It really involves this integral, and there's something to discuss, I think. Yeah. All right, so that's two proofs of one family. And you may wonder about other families. Can you find such easy proofs? So the main point of the proof was this fact that what I used in this proof, of course, this fact that Lebesgue is not only stationary, but it's stationary for the nth power of the dynamics as well. So if you're in the situation where you have a measure stationary, but also stationary for the nth power, then this argument is golden and you can make it work. Because you may ask yourself the question now, why did I take Haar measure? Maybe I could have taken some other measure on the group. If it fails to be stationary for all powers, maybe change the measure on the group. So that's a reasonable question, I think, now about the quadratic family. Is there a measure on the parameter space which makes some given measure on the interval invariant stationary for all n? I don't know. I don't know much about the quadratic family. I don't know how it fits into this discussion. Plus is a group too, you know. There is some algebraic structure. But let me give you another example. I'll give you another example, and then it gets more interesting. So the next example you might think is, well, okay, I just did analytic maps of the circle, complex analytic maps of the circle. What about real analytic maps of the circle? That's the next thing I've got to do, right? And I don't know. So I mean, this is all... Next example. So I'll write one way, then I'll write another, if I can get it right. It's just F, say epsilon, so fix K bigger than or equal to 2. K is an integer. And then consider F alpha epsilon equal to of X to equal to KX. So I like those. That's my PhD thesis, KX. Okay, but now I add alpha. That's okay, that's still my PhD thesis. Now I add epsilon sine 2 pi x. So that's still my PhD thesis for epsilon small. These are all expanding maps. But what I want to ask about is the mean entropy of this family, which all has absolutely continuous measures with respect to Lebesgue, bigger than or equal to the random entropy. Once again, I want to know, is the integral of H with respect to the natural measure of F alpha epsilon bigger than or equal to the integral of the log of any one of these, the derivative of alpha F0 epsilon prime of x dx. So again, it's the same situation. The parameter is now thought of in alpha. This is d alpha. What I'm varying here is fixing epsilon, small, and varying alpha. So I'm lifting the graph. So lifting the graph, I continually have expanding maps, but the eigenvalue at the fixed point, for example, which will have a big influence on the entropy, is going to go through all the possible derivatives on the circle, and this will be a varying number. So on this side, I have the mean entropy again, and on that side, I have the random entropy of the random product. So this is still bigger. So I could have written this, by the way, as F alpha epsilon of z equals z to the k times e to the 2 pi I alpha times e to the, is it I? Maybe it's just epsilon times z minus z bar over 2. Is that what it, something like that anyway, up to some constants. So I again see this as power series, if I wish, but they're no longer power series in z, power series in z and z bar. And that changes things in the proof here. So I didn't know about this. And I was in Paris. I tried to convince young people who were around who I thought had programming skills to do an experiment. It looked easy enough to compute the exponents of these things in this family and average them and compute the other one on the right. Easy. Looked easy computationally. Well, I found no young person willing to listen to me. But luckily, there was an older person who knew me from the old days who was visiting in Paris, whom I could lean on to do some computation, who was good at it. And Raphael de la Riava was there, so I went into his office and said, Raphael, you have to help me here. She said, okay. And 10 minutes later, we had numerical evidence. Numerical evidence. Up to 6 digits, these numbers are equal. I don't have zero entropy here. So, yeah, it's like the expanding case, equality, if and only. And again, it's expanding, and up to 6 digits, the numbers are equal. Obviously, they're equal. Well, they're not equal. So... In fact, Well, it's the epsilon like maybe 0.01, even 0.1. You try to go out to 0.1, because the derivative picks up a 2 pi, so there's a 6, so you have to worry that the map stops being expanding. So if you start getting the derivatives bigger than 1, the map may not be expanding for some value, so you stay down, and the epsilon's around 0.1, so... Then epsilon looked pretty good, 6th power, he did a pretty good experiment. I must say I left and went to Bordeaux, and I didn't get any email from him about further things, but apparently he refined his experiment, and apparently if you're good enough at doing these experiments, you can detect that these numbers are in fact different, and the inequality goes in the wrong direction for small epsilon. But not by much. Not by much. And in fact, the difference is on the order of epsilon to the 2 plus 2k. So when k was 2, which is the case we were doing, we had epsilon to the 6th, and we were in the noise domain of what looked like to be the noise domain for the Lyapunov exponents. Couldn't expect more than 5 or 6 accurate digits. So we thought they were equal, but they're not equal. They are off by something like epsilon to the 6th. But it's still true that the maximum is bigger than the mean. So we wanted to know, are there positive measure sets? So the answer was supposed to be yes, there are positive measure sets because the average is bigger than the mean. So the average has to be positive on some open, some positive measure set. So that was the application we had in mind. So now let's ask, is our application still valid? Well, of course, it's a silly question for expanding mass. They're all positive. But oh, it's pretty big. I think it's on the order of epsilon, yeah. Yeah, I'd have to look again, but I think it's pretty big. It's on the order of epsilon. But the thing is, it does cross. So the entropies do cross this mean number. So there are some that are bigger than the average. So that's the import here is, even though the most ambitious thought you had is fails, it's still yet true that there is a positive measure set where the deterministic dynamics beats the random dynamics. Six digits was perhaps sharp. He was better at it than he thought, maybe. Right. Maybe his numerical techniques were better than he thought. Well, actually, it was Carlos Simo who proved it, got this, the actual sharpest bounds on the epsilon. So we have a three-person project going on there. But I think that the fact that it crosses over is a very meaningful kind of thing, and it suggests that you, I don't know, it suggests many things. Maybe the conjecture is always true that you cross over. So Carlos tried a piecewise linear expanding example, and at least experimentally, this piecewise linear one still crossed over. So even though this inequality is not true, the range of the epsilons of the H's does cross the mean, bigger and smaller. Well, no, we have to prove the maximum. I don't think it's too difficult in these particular examples, yeah, but in general, that would be a nice thing to prove. Yeah, yes, by solving the Euler equations for some Bessel functions. It's proof. Proof, yeah, proof. Absolute proof. And I'll tell you why that, what I think is happening in that proof and why there's kind of hope for the future, is this second proof here of this case. So now you've got power series that are in Z and Z bar in these formulas, theta and theta bar when you compose. Right? So you have power series in Z and Z bar, theta and theta bar, you raise them some powers, now it's possible that they exactly balance, right? When you multiply out and you get it some term that's like, you know, Z to the bar to the K times Z to the K times theta to some L times theta bar to some L. And you have some coefficient here, and it contributes to the integral. Because before this couldn't happen because everything was analytic. Now it's real analytic. You do have the possibility. But by averaging over the group, you see, if you didn't have something like theta to the L persists for a particular value of theta. But for something to exist in this big power series product, you need it to balance out. So there's simply fewer terms in the expansion when you've averaged. So you have a good chance, that the derivative is bigger than the mean, and then your type of argument says that the range of the integral is going to be larger than the average. And therefore you'll find some bigger. So it's exactly that argument that one could hope to get, and it could well be because when you average for a term to persist under the averaging and not be zero is very tricky, very hard to achieve. In fact, in these examples, you had to get 2 plus 2k. And in particular terms, you're down at maybe two or something for particular theta. So that's, I think that's exactly why. I think you're exactly right. And that gives me hope that the most outrageous of all things might be true. And the most outrageous is this initial family here. So what is the numerical evidence about this initial family? It's that the conjecture that the mean entropy is bigger than the random entropy is definitely false for small epsilon. In fact, the mean entropy goes to zero like epsilon squared. And I mean, the random entropy goes to zero like entropy squared. And by all these results in Hamiltonian dynamics that I know myself, KM theory, the results of Nystadt and people tell you that the measure theoretic entropy can't be growing any faster than something like e to the minus 1 over x squared. That's an upper bound on the growth of the entropy for the mean in the random family. That's probably true. So this is a guess of what the entropy looks like averaged over epsilon. Whereas the random entropy looks like quadratic. It's coming down in quadratic. So, but in fact, what happens here, this is very flat. You get out to point 3 in epsilon. They appear to cross. The bottom one appears to get a little bigger, but so little difference between them that you can't see it. So the random entropy is apparently the integral of this, more or less, for large epsilon. And for small epsilon, it's definitely not true. This is surely bigger than that, and that's not much hope, you know, doesn't say this contributes too much. But now I wonder if a crossover effect might not still be true, and that the deterministic entropy still crosses the random entropy for some values of the parameter, or at least gets bigger. And the argument might be similar somehow to this argument, expanded spherical functions or something like that. Look at the terms that survive, compare somehow the surviving terms to the average, to the ones that are there for particular cases, take derivatives, do something. At least it's kind of, all my attention and a lot of people's attention in the standard math, for example, the attention has been epsilon big, the twist very big. Right? So there, I don't know, maybe we've gone as far as we can go in these things. We need to put in a little bit of diffusion in the case of the standard map, then Carlson and Spencer proved that the deterministic and the small diffused one and the large diffused one are about the same. And in the case of these maps, if you put in a little bit of diffusion, then the Drapier and Simon and Amy Wilkinson and I prove with a little bit of diffusion, the small diffused and the random is about the same. And I don't know if one can push those type of arguments much further, but maybe it occurs to me that maybe one should look down near epsilon small again, in the place where you don't think you have much hope, and to try to push the dynamics across. Anyway, no, I'm proposing the exponentially small is right, but there's a variation that crosses, that goes above it, that there's a much bigger variation in the entropy than the average. Yeah. That's what I'm proposing. And that it's exactly as Kostscher was observing, that the integral itself should look like epsilon, maybe epsilon squared. But because of the averaging, the first few powers of epsilon go away, and therefore you get much bigger variation in the range of the function than the mean. That's possible. It happens. In one case, we get equality. In another, I don't know any other hard information. anyway, that's my talk at the attempt to get soft, soft reasons to explain positive entropy. Yeah, I'm done. This is the chair who has to recognize. I've run out of time.